Let us turn in the scriptures to the book of Ruth, chapter 2. Ruth, chapter 2. I'd like to thank you, Mervyn, for your very warm words of welcome. I'd like to thank Joshua for leading the meeting, and we certainly do wish Joshua God's richest blessing as he takes up the ministry in Bangor. Yes, I was brought up just across the county line in Coleraine, but I was born in Ballymoney, because in those days, a lot of the children, in fact, most of the children, I think, in the Coleraine area were born at the old Ruth Hospital. It's great to be with you tonight. We appreciate the invitation, and we trust the Lord will bless us. I certainly have enjoyed the meeting. I've enjoyed the singing. I've enjoyed the praise, the worship, and we look to the Lord that he will bless us as we consider his word, the one with the other. Let us turn to Ruth chapter 2, and we will read from the verse number 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Amen. We know that the Lord will add his own blessing to this reading of his inspired and infallible word. Let's have a word of prayer. O God, our Father, we come into thy holy presence in the name of our Savior. We thank thee for thy mercies. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the fellowship we have with one another in the gospel. And as we would consider what thou wouldst have to say to us now, may we know the blessing, the help, the power of the Holy Ghost. Come, Lord, we pray. Spirit of God, my teacher, be showing the things of Christ to me. Father, I pray the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen and amen. This evening, I would like to talk to you about finding faith and love among the harvest sheaves. And the text that comes immediately to my mind here is the verse 12 of Ruth chapter 2, where Boaz spoke to this young woman, and he said, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And it is particularly those final words, the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. How Ruth found faith and love among the harvest sheaves. The scene that is here before our eyes in Ruth chapter 2 is that of an eastern harvest field. The field is swarming with workers, as busy as bees, harvesting the precious grain. Swarthy men are striking their sickles into the rustling barley. Others are binding the barley into sheaves. In the corner of the field stood a tent where the workers could gather to drink vinegar or sour wine to quench their thirst and to take some respite from the heat of the strong burning sun. The eyes of Boaz, the master of the field, is surveying the scene, and he is certainly most interested, as well he might, because he has invested into this property. He has invested into the plowing and into the sowing and into the nurturing of the barley as it was growing. And now he's looking earnestly. He's managing all the affairs. He's seeing what everyone is doing. He's making sure that the ground is being harvested to its full potential. And we can see him there. His hair is grey with age and his brow is furrowed, and he's calculating. He's calculating how much profit he would get out of this year's crop. He's calculating what his barley would be yielding to the acreage. Would the market prices this year fetch him a good profit? And so he watches what this worker is doing and what that worker is doing. And he's making sure that everyone is working to their fullest. And then suddenly, his eyes light upon a young woman. She belonged to that group of poorer folk who would follow the reapers, who would take up the gleanings that had been left behind. The law required that the field could not be stripped bare. There had to be something left. There had to be handfuls left in the corners, on the edges of the field, for the poorer people, so that when they came, they could receive something for their homes. God ensured that everyone was to be looked after. And so the widows were coming, the orphans were coming, the destitute were coming, and the stranger was coming, and here was one he had never noticed before. There were those who were coming year after year to gather up the gleanings, but here was someone he had never seen before. He inquires of his workers as to who this young woman was. And so he heard the story of her life. She had arrived in Bethlehem with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And he would have heard of Naomi. He would have known her late husband, Elimelech. He would have been versed to some degree with the terrible tragedy that befell them, how she had returned to Bethlehem, not only a widow, but without her two sons. And Naomi certainly had experienced much by way of sorrow and bitterness and anguish. But she was not alone in her old age. Ruth, her daughter-in-law, had come with her. And here was this young woman, this Moabitess, scouring the field on her hands and knees, gathering up what had been left behind so that she could feed her elderly and heartbroken mother-in-law. As Ruth worked under the heat of the blistering sun, the shadow of Boaz fell across her path. She looked up, timorous, a little uncertain. Here was the wealthy landowner, the one under whose jurisdiction she gleaned, the one whose favor she required if she was going to continue laboring. In the verse 2, you will notice of Ruth chapter 2, before Ruth went out that day into the fields, she said to Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And so, according to the providence of God, she entered the field of Boaz. And she certainly found grace in his sight. She did not find harsh words. She did not hear difficult questions. She found nothing but love and grace from the lips of this man who was her benefactor. And Boaz gently smiled and said, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Ruth did find faith and love among the fields of golden grain. At the harvest time, she found faith in God, but she also found love. She discovered a God who loved her, but she also found one who would be her husband. And that, of course, was Boaz. But if she had never trusted the Lord God of Israel, she never would have entered the family of Boaz. And it is a beautiful story of love and romance. It is a beautiful story of how God can take the broken pieces of a life and put those broken pieces together again, as only He can do. And this story is full of lessons and full of pictures. In Boaz, we see a glorious picture of Jesus Christ. In Ruth, we see a picture of the sinner. In the marriage, we see the sinner coming to Christ and being joined to Christ. You're coming to church at the time of harvest. Perhaps someone has invited you here. Someone has brought you along. Perhaps you don't regularly come, but you're here because it's harvest time. Perhaps you come week after week to this house and you're not saved. So I speak to anyone here and you're not saved. You don't know the Lord. Whether you're the occasional visitor, I don't know. Or whether you come regularly, you don't know Christ as your Savior. And as you hear the Word of God at this harvest time, it is my prayer that you will find faith and love, and that you will put your faith in Jesus Christ, and that you will discover Him who is the lover of your soul, and that you, like this young Moabitess, will come to know the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou wilt come to trust. Boaz commended Ruth for her faith. And that was most important to him. He was attracted to her because she had faith. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. Whenever I look at the life of Christ and listen to the people whom He commended, listen to His words, His commendations, I discover that over and over and over again, He commended faith. And very often the faith that He commended came from the most unlikely people. Ruth was not a likely candidate to be brought into a family out of which Jesus Christ would be born. For in Matthew chapter 1, we discover Ruth there. Ruth's family is there. She, of course, was brought into the direct line of Christ. And she was not a likely person for that. And yet she came to put her faith in Christ. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 22, we read about the woman who had the issue of blood. This woman who crept up to Jesus. She was afraid, just stealing there to the hem of His garment. And He said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." It was her faith. The Syrophoenician woman, the woman who was the outcast and felt herself to be an outcast. In Matthew 15, 28, Christ said, "O woman, great is thy faith." The poor blind man in Mark 10, 52, Christ said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." The four who were bold enough to carry their sick friend to the Savior and take the tiles off the roof to let him down, Christ saw their faith, we are told. And the centurion, who of course was a Gentile, a Roman soldier belonging to the army of occupation, in Luke 7, verse 9, Christ said, "I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Faith. You see, whenever we look at what Boaz had to say to Ruth here, we're reminded of something, that Christ commends faith. And you tonight, if you are to know Christ, you must put your faith in Christ. And you are not to think, "How can I put my faith in Christ? Who am I? What am I? If only you knew my life, if only you knew what my sins were, if you only knew the problems and difficulties I have had, Oh, think of the problems and difficulties Ruth has had. She lost her father-in-law, and then she lost her dear husband, and then she left her whole family behind to come with Naomi to a whole strange land. And she put her faith in the Lord. And she was changed forever, and so can you. The Lord commends faith. But the picture of her relationship with God, under whose wings thou art come to trust, the God whom she trusted in, she was resting there under his wings. And this is such a beautiful metaphor for the Christian life. This is what it means to be a Christian, to repose under the wings of God. In the Psalm 91, verse 1, we are told, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." The Christian is under the shadow of the Lord. In the verse 4 of that same psalm, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust." The wings of a bird are incredibly strong, so very powerful. They can carry a migrating bird thousands of miles. In some cases, those creatures are so small, and the little beating wings can carry them so far. What strength there is in the wings. And yet the wings are so delicate, and the feathers are so soft and so gentle. And here we see something of the power of God, not just the power of God, but the comfort of God. He's gentle, he's caring, and yet he's powerful. The only one that we can trust in, the only one that's worth trusting in. What an uncertain, troubled world we live in. And yet here is one whom we can believe in, one whom we can rest in, one whom we can trust, one who will protect us. And Ruth discovered all of this. And Boaz saw it in her as she was gleaning amongst his harvest fields. And so let us just think about Ruth here in the closing moments of this meeting. And let's think about what we can truly learn from this woman and her faith, as she found faith and love among the harvest sheaves. In the first place, let's consider Ruth's conversion. There's three things we learn about Ruth's conversion. And she was converted. There is no doubt about it. And if you're to know God, if you're not a Christian, you need to be converted. And the word conversion, it refers to a wholesale change. And there needs to be a complete change and transformation in your life if you're not born again. You need to be born again. Ruth was converted. What can we say about her conversion? She experienced a new religion. There are no words of mine that can possibly begin to make you appreciate the darkness that Ruth came from. The Moabites were a dark, sinful, pagan, wicked people. We know that they had a god called Chemosh. We know that they had a god called Molech. We know that pagan sacrifices were offered to these gods, not just sacrifices of food or of animals, but sacrifices of people. In fact, in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 3, verse 27, we are told concerning the king of Moab at that time, whenever he was suffering in battle, what did he do to try and turn his fortunes? He offered his son for a burnt offering. Ruth's background was one of fear, one of dreadful superstition, one of bondage. But when she was converted, she had a new religion. And she was set free from all of that fear. And if you tonight are without Christ, you're living in a world of darkness. The darkness of your sin possesses you, your heart, your mind, your soul. The Bible says that you are without Christ, and because you are without Christ, you are without hope. Understand that tonight. This is why you need to be converted. Ruth didn't just experience in her conversion a new religion, but she also experienced a new people. The Moabites were a people under the pale of God's curse. When we read about the Moabites in the New Testament, they are a people who were cursed. For example, in the book of Amos chapter 2 and the verse 1, we read, "For thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof." And Amos talks there about how fire would be sent upon Moab, and how Moab would be cut off. But you find similar references in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Moab would be destroyed. Today the Jewish people remain in existence, but the Moabites are gone. Ruth grew up amongst a people who were under the sentence of death. Under the sentence of death. But whenever she was converted, she experienced a new people. The Jewish people. A people who had life and who would be preserved. And tonight, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're under the sentence of death. Eternal death. In the book of Revelation, we read about a harvest day. The harvest of the earth. It's a terrible day of judgment. An awful day of judgment. Christ returns and his judgment is referred to as a harvest. And whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you're under the judgment of God at this time. But when you put your faith in Jesus Christ alone, there's life. There's new life. "I am come that they might have life," he said, "and they might have it more abundantly." The Moabites were a people under the very shadow of death itself, and that's how it is for you. But Jesus Christ, through death, defeated him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus Christ died and he rose again, and we're living under the shadow of death, but here is a Savior who rose again. You say, "How can I know what you say is true? How can I know that I can have peace?" I take you to that empty tomb where Jesus rose from the dead victorious, and I challenge you to argue with me that Jesus Christ did not rise again. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to take up this challenge? Are you willing to say, "Jesus Christ did not rise again"? Are you willing to say that this was not a fact of history? What are you going to base your arguments on? I tell you what I can base my argument on: the living word of the living God. And this book has been forever settled in heaven. And we have the accounts of the resurrection. We have the accounts of the dramatic rise of the Christian church after the resurrection. And we live in a world is facing death. And all of the other leaders, religious leaders, the prophets, they've all died. And we know they're dead. You can go to their graves and they are now the dust of the earth. But Christianity is unique because it claims a living head. Oh yes, there's new life in Christ because he died and rose again. What a Savior. You see, Ruth said in Ruth 1 verse 16 to Naomi, "Thy people shall be my people." What a blessing it was for her to become part of God's people. Ruth was converted. She experienced a new religion. She experienced a new people, but she also experienced a new language. As she came with Naomi, she had to learn the language of Zion. She had to learn the language of the Hebrews. And she was taught this language as she left the language of the Moabites behind. And it is striking here as we look at Ruth chapter 2. We're given an insight into the spiritual life of these people, these godly people. In verse 4, for example, of Ruth chapter 2, along comes Boaz. And he's speaking to the reapers. And what are his first words to them? What beautiful language from a landowner speaking to his workers. "The Lord be with you." And they responded, "The Lord bless thee." You see, this new language wasn't merely about a new mechanical language. Learning the alphabet, learning the words, the phrases, learning how to pronounce. It was more than that. It was learning how to talk about the Lord and the things of the Lord. A new language. Ruth learned it all. And we have to believe she got a new song as well, as David experienced in the Psalm 40, where he said, "He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." Oh, the language of the world. The language of the world is so pessimistic. The language of the world is so deceitful. The language of the world is so blasphemous. The language of the world is full of obscenities. The language of the world ignores God. The language of the world is all about man and man's achievements. But the language of God's people is a language of prayer. It's a language of communicating with God. It's a language of the gospel. It's a language of spreading God's word to a dying world. And this is what God does. When God converts us, He put new words in our mouth, and He gives us something different, the like of which we never had before. And this is what God can do for you this evening. And so in relation to Ruth finding faith and love, we notice her conversion. But there's also something else I want to show you here. I want to show you Ruth's comfort. You see, once she was converted, she derived tremendous comfort. She was comforted by the person of God. And we have already alluded to this, and there's something else I want to show you about this, because Boaz observed, "You have discovered the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." This comfort she got from the person of God, what was it? Yes, there is the strength and there is the tenderness, the wings. But what did this mean for Ruth personally? It meant that she experienced the compassion of God. She never would have known a God who treated her as a daughter before. The pagan gods could not do this. But the Bible says, "As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him." Is God your father? Can you truly come to the Lord and say, "My father"? This is what it is to be a Christian. This is the comfort. She also experienced the promises of God. God has promises for his people. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." You see, you can know God and you can be sure that you know God, not because of anything that you do or achieve, anything that you claim, anything you present to God. You can know God and be sure of God and be sure of his blessing in your life and be sure of that place in heaven because of his promise. You can rest upon that. "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And then she discovered strength. And this Lord God of Israel, under whose wings she came to trust, what did she learn about this God? Well, she learned something that Paul would put into words many, many years later in Romans 8, verse 28, "All things work together for good to them that love God." I said earlier that God takes the pieces of life broken by sorrow and pain, and he can do what no one else can do. He can do what no counselor can do. He can do what no philosophy can do. His grace can put the broken heart together again. And Ruth was broken, and Naomi was broken. And yet through their sorrow and through their pain and through their difficulty, they were brought to Boaz, and everything changed. And if it were not for their sorrow and their pain, they never would have experienced the beauty of what God could really do for them. And perhaps you have suffered, and you sorrow, and you have pain. But there's a great God who can take all of these things, and he can provide healing that no one else can do. A God who's been working out his purpose through all of that. And you wonder, is there a future for me? Yes, there is a future for you. But it's only as you know God you can experience that future. "For all things work together for good only for those that love him and are the called according to his purpose." Ruth experienced comfort through the person of God. But I also think there was comfort for her that came from God indirectly through the people of God. And who were the people of God that were a real help to Ruth. Well, there was Naomi, and Naomi at times didn't appear much of a comforter. Remember how she returned to Bethlehem? She said, don't call me Naomi. That means pleasant. That's too nice a name for me. Call me Mara. It means bitter. She was so low and dispirited. She could see nothing good. But yet still, there was something about Naomi. Even though Naomi had gone from Israel and down into Moab, she should never have gone there with her husband. And we see her as a backslidden lady, and she had lost out with God. And yet still, in the midst of all of that, and through all of that pain, there was still something attractive in Naomi that drew Ruth's love. Naomi continued to be an inspiration, even though she never tried to be. I think that's quite wonderful, and that's quite encouraging, isn't it? But of course, Boaz was her great help and her great encouragement, her great source of strength, and Boaz became her lover, and Boaz became her husband. And Boaz is a great type of Christ. And there is no doubt, but the Spirit of Christ was in Boaz. And amongst God's people, we find the Spirit of Christ. We find a Christ-like Spirit in the hearts of God's people. When God saves a soul and God brings that soul to Himself, Christ dwells in that soul. And of course, this is a challenge to God's people. We need to reach out to the unbeliever. We want them to see the Spirit of Christ in us. We want them to see the love of Christ in us, the compassion of Christ in us. And perhaps you're here tonight and you've come with someone who is a Christian and you see Christ in that person. And there you see that Christianity is real because you have seen a life changed and a life transformed. You see a life of faith. Is there not reason enough to come to Christ? Because they tell you that Christ is real. Thirdly and finally, let's think about Ruth's commitment. There is her conversion and there is her comfort, but as she finds faith and love amongst the harvest fields, she is totally committed, absolutely committed. Ruth meant business with this new faith. Her words in chapter 1, verse 16, were spoken from the depths of her spirit. They were words that were weighed up. They were not spoken in haste. They were not spoken flippantly. They represented for her what would be lifelong commitment. As Naomi pleaded with her, go home. You'll get another husband. Orpah had gone back. We can see Ruth clinging on to Naomi. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. And when Naomi saw the steadfastness in Ruth's spirit, she yielded. And how blessed it was for her that Ruth came. Boaz recognized this genuine spirit, this spirit of commitment. He commended that. And it was that which drew Boaz's heart out after Ruth. And therefore he said, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You see, when God saves a soul, when God converts that soul, God gives that soul the commitment to carry on. And perhaps you're here tonight and you're not saved and you think to yourself, well, I couldn't be committed. If you only knew the sins that are in my life, the temptations, I couldn't triumph over those things. I couldn't be changed. I may carry on for a little while, but I'll make a mockery of it. And you're absolutely right. By yourself, you will make a mockery. By yourself, you will look like a fool. By yourself, you will go back into the world tomorrow. Yes, but when it's God that works that change in your life, everything will be different. Who could have thought that Ruth the Moabitess could ever have left her home and her family behind and taken that journey to Bethlehem and stayed so steadfastly by the side of Naomi? God gave her that grace. Oh, the power of God's grace to change and transform a life forever. And one final word of encouragement for those of you who are saved. Ruth worked hard in this harvest field. She worked not for herself, but for her elderly and bereaved mother-in-law. She did all that she could. She did it humbly, and she took the lowly place, and she carried on. And she received a reward that was greater than anything she ever could have anticipated. Who would have thought? How could she have thought that this man Boaz, this mighty, tender-hearted man, would have been her husband? Yet it happened. The Lord recompense thy work, and the full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. As you labor for Christ, as you do his work, as you serve him, never get frustrated, never get disillusioned, never get discouraged, never get disheartened. Carry on for the love of God, for the souls of others. And the Lord will reward your labor in his way, and in the most astonishing way, perhaps, that you could never have anticipated, for that is the great God that we have. Let us bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious word. Write it upon every heart. Bless us as the meeting is drawn now to a close. Continue with us for Christ's sake. Amen.